Aviation Quest is C101, wind 270 degrees, 10 knots, runway 27 left, cleared for takeoff.
Aviation Quest CC101, cleared for takeoff, 27 left. V1, rotate. Positive climb.
Aviation Quest CC. Stories from above. The views shared in this podcast are personal and for informational purposes only. They do not reflect any employer or aviation authority, and nothing discussed here should be considered flight training or regulatory guidance. Please always refer to official sources. This episode may also contain product placements. For further information, visit our website aviation-quest.cc.
The 22nd episode of Aviation Quest CC is started. I'm one of your hosts here in the podcast cockpit. My name is Jürgen Reiss. I'm recording here from Austria. And the second pilot in command, so to say, we have a shared pilot in command cockpit, Stefan on the other side. Thank you for being here with us also today, Stefan.
Hey, Jürgen. I'm good. Thank you for having me. I hope everything is okay in Austria.
Everything is okay, and I hope also in your place everything under control. But yeah, let's jump into the first topic we already promised at the end of episode 21. It's your Discord server. So you decided to open what you have to do, so to say. Your community called out for it, and you made their dream come true. You are on Discord now.
Yes, it only took 20 years and lots of people saying, hey, you should have a Discord server. And now there's finally a Discord server for FS Clips, but it's not just for FS Clips. We also use it for this podcast. Okay. So I also make announcements regarding this podcast. So even if you only listen to this podcast and you're not interested in my other channel, you should go there because, you know, we talk about upcoming interviews, upcoming episodes, and obviously it's a nice place to hang out, to discuss aviation, you know, look a bit behind the scenes. I sometimes post pictures of my flights in the real world. Other people are there posting pictures. There's some other real world pilots there. It's a nice place to hang out. And if you want to join and have discussions and have a chat, then obviously you're more than welcome.
Yeah, you are quite productive there. I mean, you already posted a lot of stuff, and there is also really a nice community. And I think really, as you said, there are really friendly and quite interesting, nerdy discussions going on there.
Yes, and I forgot to say you are there as well, of course, so people can talk to you as well.
I'm the guy with the Austria flag. The thumbs up. No, joke aside. Yes, I am on Discord with my name. It's Jürgen _ Aviation Quests. Jürgen is Juliet, Uniform, Echo, Romeo, Golf, Echo, November. Then there's an _ and Aviation Quest in one word. But I have to say, I'm there here and then. But the more consistent, so the easiest way to reach out for me is the homepage of our podcast. It's aviation-quest.cc. And there is a coaching session, a coaching menu item. So I don't know if one of your New Year's resolution as a pilot is to get fitter or get mental support. I'm always happy to help. And there at the very end, so no matter if you wanna or if you wanna just get in contact me for another reason, there is my mobile number, and I'm also the pilot in command of our official email address. It's aviation@aviation-quest.cc. Other than that, I'm also on LinkedIn. Normally, I put there a nice picture and a little bit of text to every episode every Tuesday afternoon, and there I'm also quite straightforward to find with my real name. And the internet, yeah, I'm already also becoming 50 this year. The internet knows me since a couple of years, so I'm no stranger to Google.
Exactly. And yeah, I mean, obviously we can't say too much at the moment, but we've had some interest from some really cool people for future interviews. So it's I think it's all going really well. We have some amazing people lined up for future episodes, right?
It's crazy. I don't know. Before we had a private conversation before the interview, but I just emailed a voicemail to America. I mean, in voicemail contact with one of my really, it's a person I really honor a lot of my podcast and YouTube superstars from America. And I'm looking forward for a great interview if this works out next week. You know, it's really, you keep me driven here, Stefan. It's really, wow, something going on. And also, certainly, the Discord server, Stefan, what do you think, would also be a great place besides the YouTube channel of ours to make suggestions or discuss which topic would be interesting for you listeners there. I mean, we make this podcast for you.
Exactly. I fully agree. And I mean, we have no idea where this podcast will go, how big it will become. For the moment, it's a nice small podcast with a really friendly community. But if one day this podcast becomes a thing of its own, then I think we will have a separate Discord server just for this podcast so people can concentrate discussing the podcast. For the moment, it's combined with the other one. So if you are if you have any ideas, you know, maybe you should talk to this person or that person, then just come to the Discord server and give us your suggestions. We will read them. We may not always comment on them, but we read every single thing you write. And we're always grateful for any suggestions, because maybe you tell us about someone we haven't even thought about. Any input is welcome, right, Jürgen?
Yes. Also, if you have a specific question to Stefan, who is coincidentally the professional pilot here and flying the A320 as a first officer, or to me as a private coach, maybe also of the mental game or how to stay fit, or I don't know. If you have any idea of questions to the two of us, just please in a couple of minutes in the beginning of an episode or at the end, we can cover this, Stefan. What do you think? Maybe we can also come up with an FAQ episode from you. I mean, we already certainly had one from your community, but in the beginning of our series here. But certainly upcoming interviews or upcoming sessions with FAQs that are, so to say, a collection of the Discord FAQs would be fun.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if it's only a handful of questions, I guess we can answer them before a different topic, you know. But if it's more and more and it's enough to cover a whole podcast, then of course we can just do FAQ podcasts. I think that'd be really cool. Also nice for the community that we discuss any questions they have, maybe even any comments. I think that'd be a nice way to interact with the people that are following us.
But the name of the Discord server is, correct me if I'm wrong, but is exactly the same than the name as the name of a YouTube channel. It's FS Clips, is one word. And
yes.
We have no separate Discord servers, but we have separate YouTube channels. Thanks to your work, Stefan. Also today at Aviation-Quest Podcast, there's another video with a simulated real-world flight. Certainly in the flight sim with some great sceneries to have a little bit of background picture while listening to the two of us. What's the flight today for this 22nd episode, Stefan?
Yes, so we are going to do a real-world flight again, and we are flying an aircraft we haven't flown before, which is the A330neo, and we are flying from Palma de Mallorca from Oslo. This is a flight that happens only in the summer, on the weekends, operated by Sunclass. So it's not happening now, but in the summer we will see the Sunclass A330neos again in Mallorca. So I thought, in preparation for the hotter weather, I'll already do this flight now.
So already looking forward for the Palma de Mallorca holiday flight.
Yes, exactly. When it's super hot and everybody's complaining about the heat in July and August.
Well, quite the opposite what we do today in this podcast, because I know you love to be proud of your sunny island. You should be with what was this? 300 sunny days. But today we are still recording this officially in the European winter. And our topic today, the main topic of this podcast, is winter ops. Stefan, do you have a specific day or how do you want to cover this topic?
Yeah, I thought the best thing to do is to go through an example day and then maybe bring in some other days where similar things happened, but maybe with a different outcome. I think the main thing about winter ops is that it is a hugely complex and difficult topic. I don't know about other airlines, but in my airline, at the end of the summer, when it gets to autumn, we all have to do a winter operations course just to remind us again, because, you know, you've flown in the summer, in the heat, in sunshine. Yes, you deal with thunderstorms and other things that have to do with hot weather. But just as we go into the winter, the company wants to remind us about all the regulations in terms of icing, in terms of anti-icing, de-icing, all the different checklists and, you know, the rules about landing on a snow runway, a runway with snow and sand on top and all that stuff. So it's a huge topic. We, like I said, we do a training course, which is online. Quite extensive, and we do this every year to prepare us for the winter. So as you can see, it's a big topic, and I thought maybe it'd be nice to talk a little bit about what it is like to be a commercial pilot during these winter months.
Yeah, before we start, you also made your own little online course here, Winter Ops, it's called, or the video in your FS Clips channel is How to Correctly Operate in Cold Winter. It's about 18 minutes and definitely must have seen on your channel, in my opinion. There are a lot of interesting things, but today we make something like the audio version, but yeah, also to make it maybe a little bit different to your video. Let's start. What's a winter day normally about? Is it an early show to get early enough to the airport, or?
Yeah, it starts already, of course, as always, with the flight preparation and with the weather forecast. We always look at the weather. Weather is a huge part of our job. But especially in the winter, we keep a very close eye on many little details. So, To give you one example, we always get what we call the temperature and the dew point. So air holds a specific amount of water. Every air has just, you know, water in it. If you cool down air, it can hold less water than warm air. That's why in hot countries, it's always really humid. So if you have air with a certain amount of water in it and you cool it down, then at some point the water, it can't hold the water it has, and it will evaporate, it will condensate, so it will become fog or cloud. So this is what we call the dew point. So in the winter, if they tell you, let's say the temperature is 5 degrees and the dew point is 4 degrees, that means you're only 1 degree away from fog. And in the winter, especially if the temperatures are below freezing, so if they tell you, I don't know, the temperature is -3 degrees, the dew point is -4 degrees, that means you're only 1 degree away from freezing fog, which is very dangerous. So things that in the summertime really don't matter that much. In the summer, they tell you, I don't know, the temperature is 29, the dew point is 25. Even if it cools down to 25, it's fine. It's just a little bit of mist. But in the winter, this could mean something very different. So you need to be really, really careful with what's going on with the weather. Of course, we also take a very good look at forecast in terms of snow. snow showers, like I said, freezing fog, or the chance of freezing fog. Because of the cold temperatures, the cloud base is usually much lower than in the summer. So it could be that the clouds are actually below the minimum for the approach. So then you need to think about what you should do. Sometimes after takeoff, you fly straight into clouds in minus degrees. So those water particles will hit the surface of your plane and freeze instantly, which means you have quite severe freezing on the aircraft. There's so many things going on with this. We also like to take a bit more fuel in the winter because sometimes we have to go de-icing and anti-icing with the engines running, and that obviously costs fuel. Also, just in case there's a go-around or whatever, that they need to clear the runway of snow, so we have quite a bit of fuel with us. But that also brings the problem that when you fly around, the fuel gets very, very cold in the wings in the winter time, and so when you land, this cold fuel makes the whole wing very, very cold. We call this a cold-soaked wing. And if the air is humid, then ice starts forming on that wing, even when it's positive, even if you have positive degrees. Can be up to, I've had ice on the wing in, I think it was 12 degrees Celsius, so actually quite mild. But the wing was so cold with all that cold fuel, and it was humid, that ice started forming. And we cannot take off with ice on the wing. So, to answer your question, the first thing, the most important thing in the preparation is the weather. And we look at all these things and think about them, discuss them, discuss the fuel policy for today. Do we really want all this fuel because it might get very cold? So that's how the day starts.
Obviously, some of the things you just taught, or Stefan just taught us, you will also learn when you go to glider school, hopefully. But yes. What's the most time-consuming part of all those winter op actions, you call it in an informal way, you just taught us?
Well, the preparation can take quite a while. The rest is fairly standard. You go out to the aircraft, you do a very good look on the, you take a very good look at the aircraft on the walk around. You need to make sure there's no ice anywhere on the wings. You know, you want to make sure all the sensors, the pitot tubes, there's no ice anywhere near there. Also, you need to understand, for example, if, let's say, water is running down the side of the fuselage and that water freezes, that can also be a problem, because the air running over that frozen, you know, water line will start to become turbulent. And if you have sensors behind them, even though the sensors are completely free of ice, they might misread information because the air is disturbed. So, very good look at the aircraft. And then, of course, you need to decide, do we need de-icing? Do we need anti-icing? This is aircraft specific. On the Airbus, they're very, very sensitive. Literally on the Airbus, whenever we see ice anywhere, we go and do de-icing. There are certain rules. I'm not going to go into them. They're quite complicated. But generally speaking, we want a completely clear wing on the Airbus. Even if it's just frost, we will go de-icing. So the other thing, of course, is the snow on the ground. As you can probably imagine, landing on snow is not great, especially in terms of braking. And snow can come very suddenly and in very large amounts. So if I may just give you one example, I was in Düsseldorf. We were driving to the airport. The forecast did say snow, but it said light snow, which, you know, shouldn't be too bad. We were in the crew room. We were preparing for the flight. Everything seemed okay. We were already planning to take a bit of extra fuel because we thought we might have to de-ice the aircraft, which in Düsseldorf is done at a remote stand, not at the gate, so with the engines running. And then when we left the crew room and walked outside, we realized that it had started snowing quite quite aggressively. Like we couldn't even see the aircraft at the gate. So we drove to the aircraft, and of course, by the time we had arrived at the aircraft, it was completely covered in snow. So it was quite clear that we had to clear the aircraft of snow and ice and everything. We started boarding. By the time all passengers were on board, the aircraft told us, the airport told us that now Düsseldorf Airport is closed because there's too much snow. They tried to clear the runway. We watched all, you know, the snow plows going down the runway. But the problem was by the end, they reached the end of the runway. The beginning of the runway was already covered in snow again. So they just couldn't keep on top of it. So we had to tell the passengers, we're really sorry, the airport is closed. We have to wait and see. Eventually, the snow became a bit less. And this is where it becomes very important. Even though we had already done a walk around, we decided to do another one. And this was very good because my colleague who did the second walk around told me that it was quite windy as well. The whole engine, inside of the engine, was completely full of snow. And there's no way we can start that engine because it's just full of ice and snow. So we then had to ask the airport to get us a special little vehicle, which has, you can imagine it, like a big hairdryer, like a big tube that blows very hot air. And so they stuck that in front of the engine and blew hot air through the engine to melt all the snow and ice. So we did that. Then we could finally start the engines, and then we told them we need de-icing. But of course, because the airport was closed, all the aircraft now wanted de-icing. So we were number, I can't remember, number 12 or whatever for de-icing. So really what took the longest that day was from the moment they closed the airport to actually taking off. I can't remember the exact time, but it was in excess of 3 hours, I think. Wow. And all that time, you know, the APU is running, so that needs fuel. It's not a lot, but it needs fuel that was not accounted for. Then you start the engines, you taxi out, you have to wait quite a long time before you finally get de-iced. So fuel calculations then become very important, and this is where your experience comes in, where you know how things are. There are certain airports in Scandinavia where de-icing is super, super fast. They're very used to this, and you don't need to take that much extra fuel. It's very efficient. But some other airports, like here, Düsseldorf is quite big. If they have to close the airport, it's usually a bit chaotic. So then you need to, I mean, you can easily burn 500 kilos or half a ton of fuel just on the ground.
But Stefan, allow me an in-depth question when speaking of de-icing. I think after the de-icing, there's a magic word two magic words, holdover time. And this means there's a countdown running, isn't it?
Yeah. Excuse me. Yes. So there are two things that we have to do to the aircraft. One is called de-icing and one is called anti-icing. So de-icing means you remove the ice and snow that's on the aircraft. If the aircraft has been sat on the apron overnight and it was snowing, but right now there's no snow, it's a nice clear day, you just remove the snow and the ice and that's it. And there's no holdover time because it's been removed and it's not going to come back on its own. Uh-huh. So then you have all the time in the world. But if it is still snowing or if there are icing conditions like freezing fog, etc., then you first remove, it's called a two-step process. You first remove what's on the aircraft and then you put a second layer on top, and it's this really horrible slimy liquid that sticks to the aircraft, and that will protect you from the snow and ice that's still around. And depending on how heavy it snows, on the temperature, etc., we have tables and they tell us how many minutes we have before we need to take off. And you are correct. once they tell us, okay, we are done, we need to start the clock and we need to make sure we take off within those times. And if it's heavy snowfall, those times can be very, very short. Like we're talking 5 minutes. So we need to be very quick, which is why airports like Munich do the ice, the de-icing and anti-icing right next to the runway. Okay. So when they are done, you literally go onto the runway and take off, which to me is a very clever thing to do. So yes, that's another consideration. It's very important because if for whatever reason you miss that time window, you have to go back and do it again. So yeah, as you can see, there's a lot going on. There's a lot to think about.
Stefan, do you allow me another in-depth question?
Because of course.
You were a couple of minutes ago, so to go from the beginning of the flight to the end of the flight, you mentioned the landing. And it seems that there are a lot of flight sim nerds on our podcast, which is certainly a great thing because the time we are recording this, this is the release of our flight sim series, and they seem to be quite, so to say, at least at LinkedIn, there's a lot of feedback and discussions going on, which is great. And I mean, to replicate a winter ops flight in the flight simulator, it's a pleasure. I mean, you always enjoyed it. It's to see the scenery and also snow and everything. But how would you say just a rule of thumb, how to break after the touchdown in a relative, you know, in your world, it's certainly much more complex, but for a flight simmer, how to break realistically on a snow-covered runway or on a, you know what I mean, landable but still winter ops runway?
Yeah, I mean, I only use Microsoft Flight Simulator. I don't know what it's like in X-Plane, but that simulator doesn't really do a good job of showing you what it's like to land on a runway that is like covered in compacted snow, for example.
Reverse thrust is better than wheel brake, obviously.
Absolutely. And you should always use the auto brake system because it does a very good job, at least on the Airbus. I don't know about other aircraft, but on the Airbus, we always use the auto brakes because they do a really good job. You always use full reverse, always. You just need to be careful that you switch them off a bit earlier, like 70 knots the latest, because they blow up all the snow and ice and you don't want it to get ingested into the engine. You need to be careful with that. When you leave the runway, you need to be aware that, you know, the runway could be a bit slushy, that all that could have been kicked up onto the wings, which means all that snow and slush and ice could be stuck between the flaps and the wings. So usually you should not retract the flaps because they could get damaged. So there's a few things going on. So if you want to do this properly in the sim, you know, auto brake, full reverse, do not retract the flaps, taxi to the gate. We would then shut down the aircraft. We would do a visual inspection to see if it is safe to shut down, to retract the flaps, and would then do it at the gate. Just to make sure there's no damage. So, slightly different operation. And you can definitely do that in the sim if you want to simulate real-world operations.
Mm-hmm. But back to you in the real world. So, you have a walk around, a second walk around after landing. And then, what's the next step? I mean, winter ops, I think in the winter, everything, winter ops, obviously in the winter, but winter ops, they are, I guess, quite time-consuming from start to finish.
Yes. So, on, like I said before, we had a three-hour delay. Unfortunately, even if the airport is not closed, you know, it's just a winter day, de-icing, anti-icing is usually not included in our flight plans, in our rostering of the aircraft, but it does take time. So quite often, if you start the first flight with a de-icing, you're going to be delayed. And if you have to de-ice on every single sector, which I've had days with four sectors, and on every single sector we had to de-ice, by the end of the day, you're actually quite late. Not because anything has gone wrong. It's just that every single flight took a lot longer than it normally does because of all these procedures. Because as you can probably understand, de-icing again is a whole procedure. You have to run through a checklist. You have to make sure everything is safe inside the aircraft, outside the aircraft. Then they de-ice. Then they remove all the equipment. You have to run another checklist. Then you are finally allowed to move the flaps and everything. So it's a long process. So in terms of time, yeah, you can add quite a bit of time if you have a 4-sector day with de-icing on every single sector. You can easily end up with an hour, 1.5 hour delay, even though everything has gone well the whole day. It's just time consuming. Unfortunately, that's the way it is.
But I hope you normally also in the winter got patient passengers, or what about this?
Well, to me, it's always important to keep people informed what's going on. You know, there are these statistics that I think it's at least 70 to 75% of people on every single flight are not necessarily scared of flying, but are not really comfortable with the idea of flying. And you have to keep that in mind. We do de-icing all the time. Some people may have never seen this happening. They don't even know it exists. So you need to make sure you explain what is being done, why it is being done. And as long as you keep people informed and make sure they understand this is for their safety, it's usually not a problem. Quite the opposite. De-icing, especially at night, can look very spectacular because the liquid is very hot. So there's a lot of steam and, you know, it looks kind of cool with all the lights. So a lot of people take pictures and take videos. Then you find yourself later on YouTube or Instagram. So I think that's the key, making people understand what's going on. And the nice thing is, with snow, people can see it, you know. So when it's really heavy snow outside and you tell them, well, if you look outside, you can see there's a lot of snow, we're expecting some delays, people will understand. This is in contrast to the summer, where often we have to tell them, sorry, air traffic control has told us the sky's full, we have to wait here for half an hour before we can leave the gate. It's a very abstract thing because they look outside, it's a blue sky, you know, there's nothing to see, nothing to visually confirm what I've just told them. So for me, winter delays are usually easier to handle than delays in the summer.
Well, I think you gave us a great overview about this. Certainly this topic is, I guess, in ATPL courses, you have been taught days alone of winter ops, if not weeks, if you combine all the topics. I mean, I think there's quite a lot going on in flight school, also in ground school, when it comes to winter ops. There's a lot of, you know, from performance calculation to flight preparation, certainly to the briefings and the debriefings. I guess it's quite complex, and certainly the flying itself and the landing.
Yeah, it's a very complex topic, and it can, if I just add one more thing. I was talking about cold soaked wings. These things can happen at any given moment, even in the summer. I've had this happen to me. It was late spring, early summer. We had a pretty long flight into Spain. And when we landed, we saw frost on the top of the wing. Okay. That airport did not have any anti-icing equipment. They just didn't have it because they never need it. It was always warm. And it's very hard to explain to people when it's 20, 25 degrees outside that you have ice on the wings. And the airport solution was they simply got a pushback truck and they pushed us into the sunshine. And we were sitting in the sunshine then for 20 minutes. And then the ice was melted. And that was that was the Spanish version of the icing.
The natural version of the icing. Sounds very
exactly.
Nice, friendly.
Yes, environmentally friendly, I guess. But these are strange things that can happen. And again, you have to explain to the passengers how this can happen. And you know, so like you said, it's a really big topic, and it can happen even outside of winter months. You need to be aware that you are dealing with very cold temperatures when you're up there cruising altitude, you know, minus 50, minus 60 degrees is quite normal. And you have liquids all around the aircraft that are exposed to these temperatures. So yeah, it is a big topic, a big, big topic in aviation. And when you do your, you mentioned it before, even as a glider pilot, right? You have to learn about these things.
Not about winter. Yeah, I mean, yeah, you learn a lot of things. Yes, also in high altitude. But obviously, you don't fly a glider when there is snow on the runway at minus 10 degrees. It's a little bit ridiculous, at least for me.
But I guess you have to learn.
If you fly to high altitudes, it is a thing. It's absolutely a thing. And you learn about the dew point. So you learn a lot of meteorology. So I can just motivate youngsters who want to get into aviation. Go to glider school. You will learn the basics. Stefan taught us in the beginning. You will get, certainly not in these steps, in all these steps, an airliner pilot have to know. But you will learn a lot of meteorology in glider school.
Absolutely, because I guess gliders don't have any de-icing systems on them. So what that means is
you need autopilot, no nothing. You have to know what's going on, and certainly this is dangerous.
Exactly. So as a glider pilot, you need to be able to recognize icing conditions, and you need to be able to avoid them. So that,
better to avoid
that to
than,
me
needs... better to avoid than to recognize them.
Exactly. So to me, that's a very good skill to have. I mean, we don't have a choice. If we have to fly through icing, we have to fly through icing. We have systems that we can switch on that help us. But in a glider, if you are flying in cold temperatures and you have a cloud that you cannot avoid, you need to be aware that that cloud may cause icing on the wings. And these are things that you... I think that are very valuable for any aviator that you will learn when you do a glider license.
At least I still remember, even though it's decades ago, some stories in ground school. They make you respect clouds, Stefan, with gliders, especially when it's cold, period.
Yes. Yeah, but that's a good thing. It's a very good thing.
For me, if you want to get into aviation as early as possible, go to glider school. This is just for me. You know, you learn to fly, you learn basic, especially meteorology. You get not only in ground school, you will get in touch with this also in the real world. Certainly not, hopefully not with icing. But I mean, it's for me really... But we recorded podcasts about this. They are already in the archive. And anything left from you? I mean, certainly there's a lot of things from your side that could be covered in future podcasts. Maybe there are also questions, in-depth questions from the listeners. We are looking forward for comments, whether under the YouTube channel or under the video on the YouTube channel or in the Discord server. And, anything from your side? Because we already are at minute 38.
Yes, we need to finish. Huh? We always start rambling and going off on tangents, but it's okay. It's okay.
Rambling.
No, nothing
I
else.
I think it was quite factual rambling going on today, as
always.
Hopefully.
Absolutely. No, nothing else from my side. Just a big thank you, Jürgen, for your time, as always. And thank you for everyone for listening. And as we record this, it's just the end of winter. It's getting warm again. So I'm looking forward to a few months of flying in the sunshine and the warm weather before it all starts again.
Yeah, and from my side, we are always looking forward for thumbs up. You can also write comments or give us reviews, certainly on Spotify. We are not only on Spotify, we are on Apple Podcast, YouTube Podcast, Amazon Podcast, Podcast Addict, Podigy, and I just read this down at our homepage, where you can find all those channels. To hopefully you don't have to listen to us on all of the channels. This would be Aviation Quest is the overload. Choose your channel. Have fun with us. And hopefully, yeah, we are looking forward to more podcasts. And Stefan, thank you for your time. Another great episode live on tape. And yeah, enjoy your day.
Yes, I will. Same to you. And I look forward to see you in the next one. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Aviation Quest CC, Stories from Above. For more information about this episode and everything we do, visit our homepage aviation-quest.cc. We appreciate your time and support, and we'd love to have you back for the next episode. Until then, stay safe, stay curious, and keep your passion for aviation flying high.